Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to hop into a huge trade that went down in the NBA. The Washington Wizards sent over John Wall. Do the John Wall. And a first-round pick to the Houston Rockets for Russell Westbrook. Didn't really see this one coming. But I think it makes sense, you know, we'll dive into who won this trade and if both teams could benefit from it. We're also going to talk some college hoops, a huge bad beats weekend in college hoops. The first week has been wild. A lot of, as I said before, crappy matchups going on, but also some good matchups. So we'll talk which teams are for real and who has a real chance to make it to the Final Four, if there is a Final Four this year. And then, of course, we have our Fixed Cup Week 12 overview with a Week 13 preview. Let's dive on in, ladies and gentlemen. So just a couple days ago, it was announced that there was a trade that happened in the NBA. The Houston Rockets sending over Russell Westbrook to the Washington Wizards for John Wall and a first-round pick. Now, when I first hear this, I'm like, damn, I haven't heard John Wall's name mentioned in a long time because he's been hurt. You know, he's been dealing with injuries, but apparently he's better than ever. You know, there's been some videos of him working out. You know, he looks really good. He's throwing it down. He's running down the court. That's great. But, you know, D. Rose did say the same thing when he came back from his MCL, ACL injury. So it's hard to, you know, and he looked good too, you know, when he came back from an injury. It's so tough when, you know, with John Wall coming back from a leg injury, you know, you're just never the same. And you can still be productive. You can still be a good player in the league, but you'll probably never reach that same height that you have before. That's just the way it goes. So what John Wall's going to have to do is he's going to have to adjust his play style. He's not going to be able to drive as much. Going up for those acrobatic finishes. He's going to have to be more of a pass-first guard. But when you have someone now like James Harden on your side, that's okay. Now, I'm not saying John Wall can't take it to the hoop and throw it down. But he's going to have to limit how many times he does that because it just increases the risk of him re-injuring his leg. And now that you have a teammate, as I said, with James Harden, he'll be able to take some of that pressure off, which is why I like John Wall going to the Rockets. I also like that they snagged that pick. You know, some people are questioning, oh, why'd they get a pick? You know, they're pretty equal. Well, there's more risk getting John Wall because, like I said, of the injury factor. He's coming off an injury. You know, it's definitely a risk going for a player like this. You know, he's not super young anymore. He's getting into his seventh, eighth year in the league. You know, he's still plenty of time in the league. But definitely, you know, we're not all sure what to expect. But I like the move. You know, obviously, Russell Westbrook didn't want to play with James Harden, vice versa. John Wall wanted to break it off with Bradley Beal. You know, they wanted a new direction. So this works out for both teams. Russell Westbrook on the Wizards. Some people say maybe he might not even play on the Wizards. He might get traded somewhere else. Assuming he plays on the Washington Wizards, he's playing with a roster that has Bradley Beal. You have Rui Hachimura, a draft pick from last year out of Gonzaga that has bright spots. You have numerous shooters that are young on the Wizards. Beatrice, he can pop. So you have, you know, both teams have some weapons. But when you ask me to grade this trade, I have to feel like both teams I can't really give you a winner because I feel like both teams, it's not going to really impact them winning a championship. In Houston, I think that they should rebuild. I think they should, you know, I thought that they were going to give away Harden, maybe to the Brooklyn Nets, where he had desire to go. It feels like Harden doesn't really want to be there anymore. It was obvious Westbrook didn't. Don't have too many pieces on that team. For Washington, they have been in rebuilding mode for a little bit now. But adding Russell Westbrook, what does that give you? Maybe a fight for the 6-8 seed in the East, which is way better now with Kyrie Irving and Durant being on the Nets. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know, you know, having Russell Westbrook on your team, he's going to be taking the majority of the shots. But is he enough to, you know, compete with the Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, Brooklyn Nets? No, I don't think so. And yeah, they'll be competitive. I'm not saying they're going to be, you know, an automatic out. But if you're the Wizards, you still want draft picks. So I'm thinking maybe they end up trading Russell Westbrook, maybe not right away, but, you know, once he has, you know, increased value, if he's performing, I still feel like the Wizards have to make moves. And I feel like the Rockets do, too. They've had a good run with the James Harden era. They've just never been able to get past the Warriors, the Lakers, the Blazers. And so it's just like, you know, it's okay if you rebuild for a few years. You know, you have an attractable market. People like Houston. You get another star. But right now, I think it's time to move on. So this trade, that's why it was surprising. Because I'm like, well, are both these teams in win now mode? You know, it's kind of random. I don't know what to expect. I do like those players. I love John Wall. I love Russell Westbrook. I mean, so I think it's cool that they're switching locations. But ultimately, I don't think it's going to really help any team down the road with winning a championship. It is now time to get into some college hoops. The first week officially in the books. A lot of bad beats in the first week. So for all those bettors out there, I'm sorry. It was a tough first week of gambling for college basketball. If you kept in to date with the Scott Van Pelt show, they have plenty of bad beats each day. A lot of teams, you know, not playing together yet because of COVID. No crowds this year, so a lot of time for upset city, for a lot of crappy teams. It's going to be a tough year to bet on. I highly recommend if you're betting, you know, not to bet a billion games a day because, you know, in your head, you're like, oh, college basketball's back. You know, we're gonna have games every day, games all day. Well, I'd pump the brakes just a little bit because I think, you know, in about a month, we'll get a sense of who's good, who's not. You know, teams will be playing teams in their conference. It'll be a little easier. But that being said, there are some clear front runners for the Final Four this year. Starting off with my number one ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs. Unbelievable start to this year. Huge expectations with their number one prospect, Jalen Suggs, who's the real deal. And him and coach Mark Few, obviously on the same page. We got Kispert. We got Drew Timmy. We beat number six Kansas first day of the season. Be a tough unranked Auburn team. Both those teams occurring in the Fort Myers tip-off. Weird atmosphere there, can't lie. But dubs nonetheless. Then we took on number 11 West Virginia in the Jimmy V Classic last night. It was supposed to be Tennessee, but because of COVID, West Virginia slid in, and they were ready to go. Very good Mountaineers team led by coach, Hall of Fame coach Bob Huggins. And it was a scary first half. We had Jalen Suggs go down with which looked like an Achilles injury, which pretty much you can kiss the season goodbye at that point. When Suggs went out for that 5 minutes, the Zags looked uncomfortable. They looked discombobulated. Obviously, their number one player's down, so they're probably like, oh shit, like the season's in jeopardy. But all of a sudden, there comes Jalen Suggs coming out of the tunnel with apparently just an ankle injury. So he was able to play, and the Zags took off from there. Huge win for the Zags. They have number two Baylor on Saturday, who also played number five U of I last night, and damn did Baylor look good. Credit to U of I. They had a great first half. U of I, Osumu, and Coburn, they're going to be a threat this year. Definitely able to make a Final Four run, especially for the Big Ten Championship. I think U of I is clear-cut favorites right now, along with Michigan State and Iowa. That's going to be a great conference this year. And Wisconsin, I'm not trying to badger nation out there. You guys are right there as well. But U of I looks really good. They're going to be a force. But Baylor Bears always an underrated team. They're, you know, last year, they're number one probably for a majority of the year. And then COVID happens, so you kind of forget that the Baylor Bears are there. But they're good. And they're a team that plays with defense, they play with energy. But they also have some ballers. Mitchell last night, I thought it was Donovan Mitchell's cousin. I was like, who is this guy? Could not miss, you know, throwing oops to their big guys. I mean, Baylor has a deep team. And they're going to be tough. Especially, you know, playing in the Big 12, it's a tough conference. You're throwing bows around. They're going to be good. Definitely looking like a Final Four team along with the Zags. I can't wait for that matchup on Saturday. It's going to be electric. I wish there was a crowd for this one. Everyone would be going nuts. But I'll be going nuts on my couch watching that game. I think this game, obviously, it's the number one and two team. Whoever wins gets the number one seed or the number one ranking overall. But at this point, you know, it's just a great measuring stick to see where both teams are at. But that's going to be a hell of a game for Saturday. So if you have nothing going on, sit down, watch the Zags, watch the Baylor Bears, and have a ball. It's going to be awesome. I think, you know, the next few weeks of college basketball are going to be interesting. You know, it's still some non-conference stuff going on. But as soon as we get into conference play, it's bombs away, baby.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week this week goes out to Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles. What the fuck? Everyone and their mother had the Seahawks -6.5 on Monday, including myself. And what do? They fly, Eagles fly. They throw a freaking Hail Mary with 30 seconds left, tipped around, touchdown. Okay, you're still down by 8. But no. What do you do then? You go for 2. They go for 2. Unbelievable bad beat right there. Makes no sense why they go for 2. According to the analytics, I guess they could. But freaking analytics, if you score an extra point, you're only down by a touchdown. And then if you score again off an onside kick, then go for 2 for the win. Don't go for 2 now. They must have known the spread. My thinking is that it's rigged. NFL got a call and said, Vegas needs help. Let's mess up the spread for everybody in the world. Let's get the Eagles on board at +6.5. But, you know, rigged or not, it's just amazing because before that happened, I was sitting there and I'm like, well, you know, if the Eagles here, if they, you know, throw in Hail Mary and go for 2, the spread's fucked. And what happens? Exactly that. I'm going to say I start keeping my mouth shut during games because I feel like the more I talk, the more I jinx. But screw the Eagles. They suck. Everything about the Eagles sucks. They're going nowhere. They took my money.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 Spotlight of the Week has to go to last week's Thanksgiving. I was able to go home and see the fam. Last week, saw my sisters, Jenny, Bill, full squad. You know, it was definitely our smallest Thanksgiving, as I'm sure it was for most people. You know, we did a FaceTime with G-Force and my aunt, and it was nice. It was a nice day, nice couple of days to be back with the fam. I was happy that I was able to go. Everything worked out. Got tested before for COVID. Negative. We're negative, baby. So it was nice to be able to do that. It would have been a lonely Thanksgiving if I was here by myself. I probably would have got KFC or something sad, something degenerately, but wasn't the case this year. Was able to live on for Thanksgiving, hoping Christmas will be the same. Hopefully COVID restrictions aren't too tight and I'll be able to see the fam, but thankful that we're able to have that day and have some good laughs, have some good food. All is well, baby. My flick of the week this week, I'm going to take it to Netflix, The Queen's Gambit. Yes, it's been one of the hottest shows in the land right now, and I hopped on the bandwagon. I had a couple people reach out to me telling me I should watch it, and that's just what I did. It's a 7-episode season, each episode about an hour, so you know, I did about one episode a night. You know, they're pretty in-depth, long episodes, so it's tough to watch a couple, but they're really good. It's about this chess phenom, Beth Harmon. She grows up in this institute because she didn't have a mom or dad. Ends up getting adopted. And she ends up going up all around the world, beating the best chess players, being the best chess player. But of course, it's not just about chess. It's about her growing up and maturing and not trying to get... And she, you know, of course, gets into alcohol and drugs. So will that take over her chess playing, or will she be able to put that in the past? It's a great show, either to watch by yourself or with the family. You're able to reflect on your own self, which I think is the point of the show. You know, watching someone that has a talent, but will they blow that away for stupid things? So I highly recommend. It's an excellent show, very highly rated. Dive on into Queen's Gambit. You will not be disappointed. For the bet of the week this week, I'm taking it to college basketball, and I'm taking it to the Gonzaga-Baylor game on Saturday. It's going to be a showdown. The Zags right now, 2.5-point favorites. I'm hammering the Zags money line. I think it's worth it. They're probably like minus 130, minus 140 right now. I don't care. They're going to take it to the Bears. It's going to be an awesome game. But the Zags have too much firepower. They have too much shooting, too much chemistry. Zags, 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 ready to roll. Promises made, promises delivered. Shout out Stu Finer. Let's go, Zags. It is now time for the Week 12 Thick Cup review, Week 13 preview. It's past the witching hour. It's playoff times, baby. We got one more week until the playoffs, and we got a lot of seating that can be rearranged. But before I get into that, there's been a lot of chatter in the group chat right now for this league. A lot coming from the East Division, primarily Luke Boyd. The commission's been talking a lot of shit lately. He does this every year. He's quietly reaching up in the rankings. And once he's for sure in the playoffs, he starts talking shit. He starts talking about how the schedules are rigged, how the East is better than the West. That is bullshit. Luke Boyd is in first place in the East at 8-4. He's had a good season. The next best player in that division is Human Centipede's Mike Nasser at 5-7. And then it goes Holman at 4-8, Tiggett at 4-8. Oh, don't even get me started about Tiggett. And Big Sam at 3-9. In the West, you have the Saloons at 10-2. You have Bout That Action at 10-2. You have Klein Hands at 7-5. You have Nato right there at 5-7. It is a grueling division. And you know, we don't say anything. We just play our schedule. And that's the way it goes. But here comes the East Division just talking crap. I had Vegas Suns last week coming out who, let's not forget, didn't set his lineup for multiple weeks during the season. But then he comes out last week saying how the Saloons and Bout That Action schedule was weak. We put up an insane amount of points. The Saloons almost put up 1,600 points. That's 400 more points than Tiggett. And I hate even having to defend myself like that, but when someone's going to come at someone's record and say their schedule was easy, how about setting your lineup first? How about not starting Zach Ertz in your tight end spot for 3 weeks straight when he's on the IR, and then also asking on the day of, oh, how can we pick up a tight end? You've been in this league long enough to know you have to pick up a spot 2 days in advance. It's ridiculous that we have people that aren't going to make the playoffs that call out other teams with better records. You play what's on the schedule. You produce points, and you be quiet. That being said, let's go into the Week 12 overview. My God, I had to get that off my chest. I just can't let it be standard anymore for this idiocracy coming out of this league. We have first matchup. Big Sam against the Bailouts. Big Sam with another disappointing lineup selection, starting Todd Gurley, starting AJ Green, combining for zero. Easy dub for the Bailouts. They have now secured them a spot in the playoffs at 7-5. Doesn't matter what happens the last week. All it does is for seeding. So congratulations for the Bailouts getting into that playoff spot. Well-deserved season. Next matchup, we have the 69ers featuring Nicky Madison against Ethan Holman. Holman starting that Indianapolis defense, subtracting 5 points. Wasn't a good week for Holman. I was wrong about this prediction. I thought Holman would get the W. But it was the commissioner with 107.52 to 77.8 victory against Holman. Starting Derek Carr, also not helping Holman's case, giving him 0.6. A minus 6 to start is not going to help when you're playing Boyd. And then with a taunt, Boyd starts Mark Andrews because, you know, he does Boyd things trying to taunt. You know, so much karma going for the commissioner right now, lots of smack talk. What's going to happen this year? Boyd's not going to win another championship, that's for sure. But a win nonetheless. Luke on top of the East at 8-4. Congratulations. Holman still having a chance next week. Still needs some things to happen, but he's not done yet. Next matchup, we have Bout That Action against Minneapolis Mike Caputo's. Huge win for Bout That Action. I thought that the Caputo's might get the W, but it was a beatdown, 134.62 to 98.26. A really consistent performance by Bout That Action's team, besides Jared Goff getting 3, but with Derrick Henry with a monster performance at 37.5. Young Hoo-Koo for 21. That's huge. Even with Nato starting Taysom Hill for 17 at his tight end, wasn't able to glitch his way to a victory. Still in the playoffs at 5-7. Gonna need a big week for him next week. Congratulations about that action. Securing that bye at 10-2. Next matchup, we have an absolute smackdown right here. Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun, 100-piecing Mike Nasser's McGee's Human Centipede, 163.2 to 59. An unbelievable performance from Ticket, having Montgomery and Chubb combined for 50, Tyreek for 50. That's as best as Ticket's ever going to get, and I love it that I get to play Ticket next week because he peaked too early. But nonetheless, great win. He still somehow has an outside chance to get in at 5-8, but it's not going to happen. So too little, too late for Ticket. Nasser right now at 5-7 needs a W next week to get into the playoffs. So tough that he wasn't able to get it done. But that's what you get when you start Kenny Galladay, who isn't playing, and then also Jonnu Smith for 0. And Bears D, for Christ's sake, minus 4. Awful scheduling of a team this week for Nasser. Gonna have to pick it up next week. Last but not least, we have the Saloons taking on Big Daddy for 3. Lots of talk this year that me and Coughlin, or that I have a hard-on for Coughlin, or, you know, that we're colluding. Hardly the opposite. We always want to kill each other when we play. You know, we're very competitive. And it was a tough battle. Big Daddy for 3, putting up the most points he's put up in 6 weeks at 112. But it was not enough to beat the Saloons. Coming off, you know, needed Justin Tucker for 13 on Wednesday. A Wednesday game, for Christ's sakes, against the Steelers. But Tucker not able to get it done, as John Harbaugh said, fuck you, Coughlin. Eliminating Big Daddy for 3's chance at the playoffs, along with a three-peat. It was a good run for Coughlin. Not able to get it done at the end of the season. Didn't have a lot of injuries, but that's no excuses. Hopefully, he can get it done in the consolation playoffs. Before I get into next week's matchups, let's do the power rankings. At number 10, we have Big Sam. Big Sam trying to make a run this year, not able to do it. Losing his last 3 games, ending up at 3-9. 1 more week left to go. Eliminated from playoff competition as he was last week. Big Sam, I pray for you in the Freak Bowl playoffs. At number 9, we have Big Daddy for 3. Coming off a disappointing year for Big Daddy. Doing all he can with his team, but ultimately not able to get it done. Losing his last 4 games after being 4-4. Tough end stretch. I wish him best in the Freak Bowl playoffs. At number 8, we have Nick Mastuovic, Dan Fernando's Vegas Sun. Huge week last week. Highest point score of the league in 160. A lot to do with Tyreek Hill. But nonetheless, a 100-piece win over Nasser, I should say. Technically not out of the playoffs yet, but pretty much done. He's playing the Saloons next week. He's going to get smacked. At number 7, we have Ethan Holman. Also not getting it done at the end of the season. At 4-5, having a chance to do damage. Losing his last 3 games. Needs a win next week and some things to happen. Some teams to lose. We'll go over that in a little bit. But hanging around there, but not looking good going into the last week of the playoffs. At number 6, we have Mike Nasser Nasser with an extremely disappointing last week over Pastovic. Could have clinched himself a playoff win or a playoff entrance with a win. That obviously didn't happen. Starting Kenny Golladay was just a terrible start to the week. He's going to have to get a win next week to secure his chances for the playoffs. But a lot of time. Time will tell what will happen to Mike Nasser. At number five, we have Mike Caputo's Nick Fornato. Nick Fornato wasn't able to get it done against Bothead Action. You know, no one has been able to this year against Luke Lieber. He's been a dominating team. But Caputo's next week, able to secure himself a playoffs appearance with a dub. But at the same time, the playoffs have started for a team like the Caputo's. At 5-7, you need to win and secure yourself a spot. We will see what happens. At number four, we have the Dodson Bailouts. Bailouts, an up-and-down team this year, but ultimately finishing where they wanted to be. They're 7-5, solid Dodson Bailouts team. Was able to beat the Saloons earlier in the year, so they're able to beat everybody. You know, the problem with the Bailouts is they've been playing the level of their competition. You know, they've had to bail themselves out a lot. But that being said, he's in the playoffs, and he's not going back to the freak ball. That was a mission of his. You know, his goal was to make it back to the championship, and he can do it this year. You know, he's going to be a tough out. So congratulations to the Bailouts, bailing themselves out into the playoffs. At number three, we have Luke Boyd, Nick and Madison. Luke, I can't wait to see you in the playoffs. I want you in the playoffs. I'm tired of hiding it. Everyone thought I was, you know, hyping you up earlier this year, and I was. And then I was hyping you down, and I'm hyping you up again. But now, after the antics going on in the group chat, you always do this, you know, you get to that point where you know they're making the playoffs, and then you start talking shit, because you can be like, well, I'm in the playoffs, and I'm the leader of the East. Well, anyone could be the leader of the East. Bailouts right now, if you weren't in the East, would be leading the East. That's no offense to Bailouts at a 7-5 record, but that being said, that shows the strength of the West compared to the East. You can say whatever you want. I'll see you in the playoffs for another fraud season for Luke Boyd. At number two, we have Bout That Action, Luke Liebert. Unbelievable run this year, securing himself that bye. He's been an awesome team to watch. You know, you see his team, and you're like, okay, that team's pretty solid. And all of a sudden, they put up 140. Lebo, it's been fun battling with you this year. As the top 1 and 2 teams. And it's going to be an honor, hopefully, seeing you in the championship this year in the freak, or not the freak ball playoffs, opposite of that, the freak ball cup. I wish you luck for the rest of the season, but it's been cool to see us grow as we, you know, new to going back to playoffs. We haven't been in the playoffs. I haven't been in the playoffs in 6 years. Lebo, I know it's been a struggle the last couple years, so cool to see that the name change for both of us is paying out. At number one, we have the Suicune Saloons. Lately, I've been getting battle-tested. Teams have been coming at me. I had a tough loss to Luke last week by less than the point. I came down on Monday night. Had a battle with Coughlin this week. Wasn't sure how that was going to end up. But here I am, 10-2, the Saloons at number one. It's been a wild ride this year, but I've proved nothing yet. The playoffs are starting in less than 3 weeks away. It's a one-week-at-a-time mentality. All I know is that I want the commissioner, I want him in the playoffs, and I want to take him out. And that's for damn sure. Case closed right there, bitch. Case fucking closed. And I'm ready. Bring it on. But first, let me take it to Pastuovic next week, as he was talking smack in the group chat. I was trying to hop on the Kansas Jayhawks bandwagon with him. He told me to get off. That's fine. That's fine. Take it. I'll see you next week. Can't wait to dish you up a platter. Before I leave, let's get into next week's matchups and also a playoff projection bracket, what would need to happen for every team to get in. So for next week, you guys already know, the Saloons are taking on Vegas. It's going to be a blowout. Not trying to hype myself up too early, but I'm just going to say it. It's going to be a blowout against Nick Pastuovic. The Saloons are ready, and they've been battle-tested. Ticket, I wish you luck next week, but you're going down. Saloons in a blowout. Next up, we have the commissioner against Big Daddy for three. Big Daddy for three. I'm calling the upset here. Luke, your time is coming in the playoffs, but Coughlin's going out with vengeance. He's Patty Mahomes Sunday night. He's taking you out. Get ready to take it. Big day for three in a barn burner. Next matchup, we have bout that action against McGee's Human Centipede. I really don't see McGee's Human Centipede getting the dub this week, as Derrick Henry projected 20 against Cleveland. It's going to be about that action in a blowout. I'm sorry, Nasser. Nasser might, Nasser can still get in with a loss, but it won't look good. I'm sorry, Nasser. Your journey might end here. Next matchup, we have Ethan Holman going up against Big Sam. Perfect matchup for Sabrina's here, as Holman needs a win. He's going to get the dub against Big Sam, but will he score enough points to outscore Nato or Nasser? We will find out. I will go into details on what he needs to do in the playoff projection, but Holman for the win on the last week. Coons going to 3-10. And last but not least, we have the Caputos going up against the Bailouts. There's been rumors of some collusion going on here. Are the Bailouts tanking for Nato? I really hope that's not the case. That would really be a shame, but as I can see in the lineups, I don't see any collusion going on. I see pretty normal set lineup here. Nonetheless, I think the Caputos are going to get a win this week. They need one. Bailouts, not so much. The Caputos are going to be playing with more feistiness and desperation. Caputos win in a semi-contested game, but ultimately it will be the Caputos taking it. So the playoff bracket, how it looks right now. We have the Saloons at number one with the bye. We have, right now it doesn't say this, but it will be changed. We have Luke Liebert at number two with a bye. So the 1 and 2 seeds there. At number three, we have Nicky Madison, Luke Boyd, going up against the number six seed, Mike Nasser. And then we have at the 5-4 spot, a Caputos against the Bailouts. Wow, that's a tough 5-4. I don't want to play either one of those teams, but I'm going to have to, just to get to Boyd. But that is what the playoffs look like right now. If Holman wants to get in right here, or Pastuovic, they're going to need a Nasser loss, a Caputo's loss, and they're also going to need to outscore him in points. So right now, Holman is down by 13 points to Nato. He needs to outscore Nato and for Nato to lose. If Nasser loses and Holman wins, let's see. He also needs 3-4. If Nasser loses and Holman wins, Holman already has more points than him, so he should be good. He has a chance there. For Nato, Nato just needs to win and he's in. And if Nasser also wins, he's in. So if Nasser and Nato both win, that is the playoffs for you. But if they both lose, things will get interesting. Holman still has a shot. Holman, I'm honestly rooting for you here. All year, you were the guy that nobody wanted in. I want to see Holman in the playoffs. You know what? He's kept his mouth shut for a while. He's working to get in that playoffs. He always makes it somehow. I want to see Holman in the playoffs. I can't believe I'm saying this. Let's go, Sabrinas. Take it to the house. Let's see Holman in the playoffs. Let's beat Luke, everybody. Fuck the commish. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Huge week in fantasy this week. That's all where my head's at right now. I'm trying to win this Fichtner Cup League. Trying to kick Luke Boyd's ass. It's going to be a battle, but we're going to do it together. Let's go, Saloons. Let's go, Big Daddy for three this week. Take Luke down. Bring him on a cold streak going into the playoffs. I hope everybody's doing well in this holiday pandemic era. It's weird out there, but we're going to get through it together. I'll see you guys next week. Real Daddy got to go. He's out. Real Daddy out.